Hello, friends. Welcome to the Logistics of Logistics podcast. My name is Joe Lynch. Thank you so much for joining us today. On the Logistics of Logistics, I talk to experts in logistics and transportation, warehousing, fulfillment, supply chain, and of course, technology. And during these interviews, I'm always the one asking the dumb questions. I ask the dumb questions so you don't have to. Today's topic is getting good shipper freight with my friend Ed Burns. Ed is the CEO of Burns Logistics, a transportation sales agency that connects shippers and carriers in a way that helps both to achieve their goals. When I think of the truckload market, I think of it in two segments. The first segment is brokered freight. That's the stuff that goes through freight brokers. I think it's about 30% of the market. And the second segment is when the freight is contracted directly from the shipper to the carrier. Ed Burns and the Burns Logistics team has another way of doing business. They are sales agents for the carriers. And apparently it's working really well because Burns Logistics is doing well. So if you are a carrier looking for good shipper freight, please take a listen to my conversation with Ed Burns. How's it going, Ed?
Joe, it's going great. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I've never talked about the topic we're going to talk about today, so I'm very excited to learn more. So Ed, please introduce yourself and your company and where you're calling from today.
All right. My name is Ed Burns. I'm calling in from Eastern Pennsylvania. I'm in a rural town called Hamburg near Allentown, which is, it's a freight mecca here. There's a lot of warehouses, a lot of stuff moving in and out. We are the distribution center for the Northeast. Our company is called Burns Logistics, and we are an asset sales agency, which means we connect shippers and carriers together directly to do business.
Very nice. Very nice. Now, how far away is Allentown from York? Because I always seem to see locations of York.
Yeah. York is in the middle, the bottom middle of the state. And Allentown is on the eastern side. So it's probably not quite 2 hours.
Nice. Nice. I was just telling you, my mom's from Pennsylvania, but my old roommate from college is from Pennsylvania. And we used to have this debate where people would always say he's from out east because I'm in Michigan. And you go, I'm from Pittsburgh. That's part of the Midwest. And we're like, how is that? And he'd say, Pittsburgh is part of the Midwest because manufacturing, steel. And he said, Philadelphia, that's out east. And I was like,
I would tend to agree.
I'm like, okay, it's a big, it's interesting. There's a lot of people there. You can be in both places. So Ed, you mentioned your business and then we called this getting good shipper freight. And then one of the reasons we called it that is I get carrier calls from a lot of small carriers, mid-sized carriers, and they'll say, Joe, we just want good shipper freight. And what they mean by that, and you know what they mean by that, is I don't want to work with a broker. Tons of good brokers out there, lots of good carriers. Sometimes they don't work well together. There's a sense by some carriers that we're getting ripped off. But I always tell those carriers, you don't have a website or a good one. You don't win business that way. You don't have much of a social media presence. You don't have a salesperson. So I get you want to get good carrier freight. And I know it's a low margin business in many cases, especially now. So they want that good shipper freight, but they don't want to work with a broker. And I was like, yeah, that's a problem. If you don't want to spend on the sales yourself, sales and marketing, then you find yourself in a little bit of a jam. That's why you end up working with brokers. Well, what you guys are doing is a little different. Please explain.
Yeah. Joe, I think you bring up a really good point. I like to say trucking has a branding problem, and it usually starts at the individual carrier level. Sometimes it's not that easy to find them. If they want to be found, then they need to invest in a good website, and they need to invest in some social media presence and a Google My Business listing that's updated and has good reviews. And they don't always see the value in those things. But our business model is pretty simple, Joe. We connect people. The carriers are our clients. We have a book of carriers that we represent in different parts of the country. And we help them get direct shipper relationships. So when they want to work directly with a shipper, we have shippers we have relationships with that we're able to go talk to and vet out carriers. And for the shipper, we're really an extension of their procurement team because we're helping them to find and source asset solutions. And our carrier base is pretty high service level carriers with some nice service offerings. They can be a little niche and hard to find, especially if they're smaller.
And by the way, I started my career in automotive and I was always a customer of logistics. And when I moved over to logistics, one of the things I was instantly struck by was how something that seems very simple is very difficult, which was getting a carrier to come pick something up. And when you would call, I remember calling carriers, was it a little 3PL? We did mostly less than truckload, so brokerage wasn't our thing. And I remember calling carriers, and they wouldn't even call me back. I was like, I don't understand why they aren't calling me back. They're in Ohio. It's not far from here. I'm in Michigan. The freight's close. But I have no idea what they want. They might have 10 trucks that go from Ohio to the border, the Mexico border, every day. And that kook who keeps leaving voice messages from Michigan has no idea what he's talking about.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier said than done. And then when I was working, I worked for a carrier for 6 months, ill-fated 6 months. I love the guys, but it just wasn't for me. I always remember finding business and I'd say, yeah, we'll take a truck, we'll pick up here and deliver there 4 days a week. And these, I remember the ops guy saying, that's great, Joe. How are our trucks getting back? I was like, they just drive back. He goes, they need a backhaul. I was like, well, yeah, we'll get a backhaul, won't we? He goes, not from there. And I was like, oh man. And so I remember then calling every broker under the sun saying, do you have, help us with this backhaul? And by the way, once you get, they get your number, they call you for the next 10 years. So, and I was thinking, this is difficult. So the carriers have a real challenge, but the brokers have a real challenge finding the right carriers. So when somebody says, I have a whole bunch of well-established carrier relationships, I'm a broker, and they really do, because the best brokers take really good care of their carriers. That's a feat. That's not easy. But there's a lot of carriers who feel, I don't want somebody to be in between me and my customer. I want the shipper to be my customer. And that's where you guys can come in.
Absolutely. Particularly on contract freight when there's a lot of volume, right? If something's moving five times a day, it makes sense to move it directly between the shipper and the carrier, because you want the same carrier picking that up all the time, getting to know the operation. And what we found, you mentioned something that's important, Joe. Network fit is so important for these carriers. They have to know their network, and they have to feed this beast, right? If you have 100 trucks, you got a lot of capacity to fill. And it is much easier to fill in gaps with brokers here and there rather than not know where you're going with a truck tomorrow. So if I know I'm running the same lane, if I'm running Allentown to Atlanta once a day, and I got to figure out where I'm going from Atlanta next, that's easier than figuring out the whole day and the whole week over and over and over again. So they want to have some stability within their network that they can build around. And then, of course, yeah, they're gonna have relationships with brokers to find some backhauls or to help them triangulate or move a truck when something doesn't work out the way it's supposed to. And that's very good. But especially when there's some regularity in networks and service capabilities.
Yeah. And let's switch gears for a sec. Tell us a little bit about you. Where'd you grow up? Where'd you go to school? Some career highlights before you joined. You didn't start Burns Logistics before you joined Burns Logistics.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, Joe. I grew up a punk kid in rural Pennsylvania. I talked back too much to my parents. Fortunately, I recovered from that, but it took a while. So I went to school all over the place, wound up with a Penn State degree.
Very nice.
Graduated with a professional writing and American studies degree. And I started a marketing business as I was graduating. I had done some contract work in politics, and I had done some marketing work. And I learned how to build websites, started doing some social media marketing and email marketing. So we were a digital marketing shop. I stayed close with my dad because I remember I was 15 when he started the business. He lost his job. I can't imagine how much pressure he felt. I think about that now, how much pressure he felt with four kids at home. I was the oldest. And he starts this business. And I'm like, wow, I really looked up to him for that. I know he worked hard to make it happen and to make it work. And I thought that was really impressive. And then he started to see some success, and he would bring me with him, especially when we were kids. Joe, he was an LTL sales guy for Carolina Freight and then PJAX and then Jevic, none of which are around anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
Their trucks are somewhere around. Their terminals are somewhere around.
Yeah. Yeah. So when we were kids, he would take us on sales calls with him. He would have us climb up in the trucks and meet drivers. And periodically, he'd make sure a driver came to the school with a trailer that talked about the no zone and advocated for the industry. And that was really special. I didn't realize at the time how unique that was for us to be able to go with him on all these little adventures. But it was a good way to learn the industry from a young age. And then by the time I was doing marketing, he would take me with him to some of these conferences. I'd go pick up some clients, do some websites. I'd talk to the fleets and say, how cool would it be? You know, 10 years ago, how cool would it be if your website could show up on a driver's phone and they could apply for a job right there? A lot of people are like, nah, it doesn't sound too good to me. Like, oh, come on. But it was fun. I was selling into the industry, selling to our marketing services to trucking companies and vendors. So was able to stay in the industry, then sold that. That was a career highlight. Was able to do a TEDx talk one time. That was a career highlight.
What was your TEDx talk on?
It was on social media and human relationships and where they do and do not intersect.
Oh, nice. That's quite an accomplishment.
Yeah, that was fun. That was an honor to be able to do that. But the best part, the highlight for me, has been the wonderful people I've met along the way.
So when and why did you join your dad's firm, Burns Logistics?
Yeah, I had been running my marketing agency for a while, probably 7 or 8 years. And I was done. I was done with it. I never intended to do it forever. I wanted to use what I learned in marketing somewhere else. I didn't know where, but I was entertaining a few offers to sell it. Chose one. It actually fell apart. And then I pulled it back together after some clients were complaining about the service they were getting. And then there was a young guy who I had worked with for a while. And I said to him, hey, man, this is quite the project. You want to take this over once we get this cleaned up? And he did. I was very happy that he took it over and he's been running it for a few years. But as that was happening, the world went crazy during COVID and it was hard to determine what would happen next. And I was talking to a friend of mine. And he said, look, you and your dad get along really well. I'd sold the business at this point. I was looking for what I was going to do next. Why don't you work with your dad? You guys get along. He's a great guy. What could go wrong? Find out later, but it's been pretty great. So I called him. I asked for an interview. We had an interview. He brought me on board. I bought in to the business and we're trying to grow.
Yep. Yep. That's what you guys have done a great job. And it's funny, I met you at Manifest. And when we're talking, by the way, everyone get to Manifest next year. It is fantastic. This is how you meet interesting people like Ed. And when you told me what you did, I said, I've never interviewed anyone like that. And I think I've done well over 500 interviews, maybe 550. And I never heard of anyone doing what you're doing. But to me, it just makes a lot of sense because, again, we have the carriers that work directly with shippers. And I think we're all go, yeah, that's, I'm making this up, 70% of the market. And then we have 30% of the business is through brokers. And by the way, no one ever tells me that exact. When I ask people, do you know what that exact split is? No one knows. But you guys are a small sliver. I'm thinking it's like probably less than 1% of all freight is what you guys are doing, which is you guys are acting as the sales agency for the carrier.
Yeah, absolutely. I've heard the split being 20-80. 30-70. I think it's probably somewhere in between there. But the spot market, even though it's significantly a smaller percentage, it gets all the attention, right? A lot of the technologies, a lot of the vendors, they're selling solutions for the spot market. And I think part of that is because it is difficult. It is hard. So there's a high volume of transactions. On the contract side, it just operates very differently. So when we work with a fleet that traditionally has been playing in the spot market more and taking stuff off of load boards, they have to adjust the way they operate in order to do contract freight, right? Yeah. You're building a relationship with a shipper because you want to work with them forever. You want to work with them for 5 years, 10 years.
So when we think about, and I haven't talked about this lately, so maybe we will, talk about, I think of, we have contracted freights, meaning I gave you a number for that lane and I'll do it for $2,700 for the next 6 months. Put me on your list. Another way is manage trans, which means I move all of your freight. And then you mentioned the spot market, which is you might normally be working with somebody who's contracted, but none of my contracted carriers can do it. So I'm going to go to the spot market and pay whatever I have to pay. So normally I pay $2,700. They all turned it down today. Now I'm going to pay whatever the spot market is. So that's my very basic explanation. Do you look at the world that same way, or is it a little different in your mind?
That's a good question, Joe. I think we're like horses with our blinders on. So we're just looking for people who are looking for relationships, right? So that's our world. I think you summed it up really nicely, though.
Yeah, it's interesting because I always used to say I don't want nothing to do with the spot market. It's to me, I want partnerships that are go long term. And my sense is you just get better when you have a relationship. You develop a shorthand and a trust that just works. And after a while, you go, I know exactly what Ed would do. He's not here right now, but I know he would do it this way. So that's what we're doing. And then when you do get back to me, you go, yeah, that's fine. Like you knew that it'd be fine with me. And so we do it that way. The spot market, important, but I've never been in the jam of being a shipper that said, everyone said no to me. So I'm in the spot market, not because I wanted to be, but because I have to be. There's a million other reasons, but I understand why people are doing it. And I understand how the carriers, they say, I need a backhaul. Give it to me. I'm in the spot market.
Yeah. And look, in the spot market, from our perspective, there are enough people in it that we don't need to jump in there too. So we just live in that contract space and focus on it. But everybody's going to have some spot market exposure, right? You're going to have changes. There's going to be emergencies. Truck's going to fall off. There's going to be a breakdown. So things happen in this industry all the time.
Yep. So my buddy, Kevin Hill over at Brush Pass Research, he started the company a year ago, and he tracks he does research on brokerages. And I think he says the top 1,200, top 1,500 have 80% of the volume. And then we have another 26, 27,000. But we saw over the last couple of years, as it's been difficult, those guys went away. And we've lost a lot. But we grew a tremendous amount of freight brokerages during COVID. And I want your opinion on this, but my own thoughts, and again, pretty simplistic thinking here, is that brokerages grew because there was a really tight capacity. There was really tight capacity, and they were the ones who brought options. And now that there is not as much of a challenge with finding carriers, these guys are starting to fade away, and probably the rates don't help either. So I want your two cents on that, Ed.
Yeah. Joe, there are shippers out there who people don't necessarily think about because they don't do RFPs. They don't go to bid. They just work with the same carriers over and over again. And what they experienced during COVID was they did not see the rate volatility that other shippers did, right? Their rates stayed pretty steady, and maybe they took a little increase here and there. But they're not playing that same game. But a lot of people don't do it that way, right? You're going to have obviously some exposure, but to the spot market, that is. But what happened, I think, is the supply chain, logistics, transportation, trucking, it became very popular for a short period of time there because of the fragility of supply chains. I think that became known, and then everybody was thanking truck drivers and all this kind of stuff. The industry became pretty popular, right? So I think people looked at it and said, oh, wow, sounds like there's a lot of opportunity here, because there was a period of time where people were printing money. They were just setting rates because there was panic buying, panic decision-making. It was not rational. It was all emotional. So the rates just got out of control. And I don't think it was good for the industry. That was a big swing, and now we've swung back to even out for that. But yeah, I think people were just chasing money. Just a lot of people bought hot shots. They got the trucks with dualies and a gooseneck to pull, and they set up an MC number and started hauling freight.
Yep. So you talk about, before we hit record, you mentioned you have two-sided sales just like a broker. So you work with shippers. What's the advantage? Well, why don't we walk through this? What's the advantage shippers see with working with you? And then what's the advantage that carriers see working with you?
Yeah, Joe, it's pretty simple for the shippers. They don't get a bill from us and we're an extension of the procurement team, right? We're not gonna bring them a solution that doesn't fit, right? It's got to be, because it's long-term, we want it to work as much as anybody. So the shippers can come to us to help them to source niche-y, small, mid-size fleets, right? Small to mid-size being 50 to...
How big is that?
Yeah, 50, call it 50 to 300 trucks. That's usually where we are. Some are a little smaller, some are a little bigger, but they're niche-y fleets, right? They have unique service offerings. They're usually regional players. They do what they do and fly under the radar, but they might be a really good fit for some of these enterprise shippers. The benefit to the carriers is we work on a small commission percentage fee, right? So we're doing a lot of work up front. They don't pay for our travel. They don't pay for meals or entertainment. They don't pay us anything until they've secured freight and been paid. We call ourselves the matchmakers of the freight industry because we're looking for good long-term relationships that fit for everybody involved. I like to say we believe in a world where everyone involved in moving freight can make a good living and do well. And freight in a world where freight delivers on time and on budget, I think it's very possible because we see it.
Yep. I'm from automotive originally, and OEMs, the Chryslers, Ford, Nissan, Toyotas of the world, they have huge relationships. And there's these partnerships and they're long-term. And I'm very used to that. But you usually know who the boss is, right? It's the OEMs. And if you're working with Ford or General Motors, usually they're at least 10% of your business. So the relationship is very clear. They're the boss. But even though a lot of these are Fortune 500 companies, are the suppliers. When we move over into the logistics business, it can get a little weird. You mentioned companies that have 300 trucks. 300 trucks is a significant amount of money that you've laid out. You have terminals, you have brand, and you might be getting, potentially, working with a small freight brokerage that might just be a storefront. And they said, hey, we found this business for you. We're getting the money. So the money comes to us and then we pay you. And I can see how if you're that owner, that carrier, and saying, wait a second, those guys have three guys working over there. And granted, they won the business. You got to give them credit for that. But they're much smaller than us. And feels like a weird mismatch. And I used to always say when I met with the carrier partners that we had, when I'm doing less than truckload, I would always say, thank you for your help. Thank you for your business. And I remember I said one time, they said, your trusted partner. I said, look, we serve at the behest of the king, because this was a national carrier. If you sell LTL services and you're a little 3PL, losing one of your LTL carriers is lights out, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I can see how we might get some mismatches. Now, granted, there's other situations where you have very large brokerages, they're billion-dollar brokerages, and they might be working with tons of little carriers that might be one, two trucks. So obviously, there's a lot of those. There's all sorts of relationships under the sun here. But to me, what you guys are doing makes a lot of sense. And to me, it makes no sense that we have 20 or 30% of the business is brokered, 70% is 60 or 70% or 80, I'm sorry, 70 or 80% is direct carrier to the shipper. In your space, I don't even know if it is a space. It feels like you're the only person I've ever talked to, but there is a need for what you're doing, because I think there's a lot of really great carriers who say, we do better when we're working directly with the shipper. I don't want a middleman. And by the way, sometimes the middleman is an invaluable piece of the puzzle, but sometimes he or she is not. They could be the weak link. Not always, sometimes. So I don't know. any broker, please don't be offended by this. It's not saying brokers are no good. It's just the world wants options. I love Diet Coke. Other people drink Diet Pepsi or water. I would never do that. But the world wants options. And right now, there just doesn't seem like there's too many options. It's either it's brokered or it's direct shipper freight.
Yeah. And to your point, yeah, people do want options. And there are times when it makes sense to go direct. And there are times when it makes sense to go through a broker. You mentioned those 1 to 2 truck fleets out there. They're going to have a very tough time getting into an enterprise level shipper because the shipper is going to say, I'm looking for you, somebody who can move 10 loads a day. Can you do that? And the answer is no, obviously not. They can move a load a week or 2 loads a week or maybe a load twice a week, but it makes sense to get that capacity.
Then that small owner operator isn't probably a good fit for you guys either. So it's if you're a smaller fleet and you don't want to invest in your own sales efforts, a website and maybe a sales guy, or maybe you're doing it from the truck, however you're managing that, brokers are a great sales team. That's what they do. And the best brokers have invested a lot of money in technology, in customer service, and customer success, and they are an invaluable part of the process. Other times, to your point, it's not needed. And I think we all have to just say that there's just going to be unique situations.
Yeah. And to your point, options, it's like, what do people want? What are they looking for? And it's usually not even all one or all the other. It's usually a little bit of a mix of both. It's a both and.
Yep. So let's walk through a customer that you might work with. So let's just say I'm a carrier, 100 trucks, and I hear Ed on Joe's podcast. You guys should be listening. Thank you. And they say, okay, Ed, we've got some business directly with carriers. We've got some stuff that's going through brokers. How do we work with you? Walk us through the process.
Yeah, that's a good question. For the carriers, we want to get to know them really well. We want to know what they like, where they like to go, what kind of freight are they hauling right now? Because if they're hazmat and they don't want to touch food products, then we don't want to bring them food shippers. Other carriers like food products and that's a good fit for them. Do you have teams? What percentage of your fleet is company versus company driver versus owner operator, right? Because that matters sometimes. That network knowledge is really important, Joe. Like you mentioned that story about working with somebody who was like, no, that lane doesn't work. How are we going to get back home? That's really important because a lot of times for us, our clients, the carrier will have a point A to B that they're running every day and they need help with that point B to C or B to A or B to C to D. And that's the piece they need help with because they have a key cornerstone account. So it's important to know who that is and what the dwell time is there and where they like to go and where they don't like to go and why. How do they like to operate? Are they good communicators? It's really important in this industry to be a good communicator. And it is absolutely unfathomable how many people can't communicate.
Oh, yeah. It is the competitive edge. People who can communicate, it's the game changer. So you want to understand where their current business is. And so they say, okay, we got 100 trucks, 50 are great. They're on these lanes and we don't even need that much help on them. But these other 50 are getting some from a load board, some from a broker, some are driving home empty. You want to understand all this. Now, do you guys do an assessment of, are you looking at how they manage their fleet? Like you look at scheduled maintenance, how old are these trucks? Because you're selling in effect to the shippers. So do you do that vetting as part of this?
We get to know those things, especially over time, especially Big Ed. He's, oh, that's a hot fleet. We want to work with them because it's a hot fleet. Because what he's saying is their equipment looks great. It's new. We do ask those questions like, how old is your equipment? What kind of trucks do you like to run? Are you a Mack Volvo? Or are you doing Kenworth? What are you running? And then depending on the account, that could matter very much, right? For example, if you're bringing a fleet into a pharmaceutical account.
Yeah, new trucks.
You can't have a 15-year-old dry van with rust holes in it. That doesn't work. It's got to be within 2 years, temperature verified, the right tracking, right? So there's some leeway in there. But yeah, we want to know what kind of tracking they're using, what TMS they're using, everything. The more we know, the better we can represent them.
Yeah, it always reminds me when I was still early on learning this business, I remember I found this tremendous opportunity, air quotes here, tremendous opportunity to move all of this scrap metal. And as soon as you start calling carriers, they're like, we're not going to pick up scrap metal. What are you talking about? Like, I go, why not? It's perfect for you. And they're like, dude, do you know how many flat tires you get doing picking up scrap metal? I was like, no, I don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you quickly learn that a lot of the scrap metal companies end up getting their own trucks just because no one wants to haul their freight.
Cheap and heavy.
Yeah. Cheap and heavy. Exactly. So the advantage the carriers have is you're really their advocate. You're understanding their business. You're the sales guy, commission only, which is nice because no money out of pocket. And again, this is a business that is during times like COVID, unfortunate times for the rest of the world, but made a lot of money for the trucking industry. But usually this is a tight business. There's not high margins. So a lot of people say, yeah, I'd love to have a sales guy, but how, right? I can't put a sales guy on the road. But you guys become that sales guy and you already have established relationships with shippers and you say, I think I can work you in on some of these lanes that for an existing shipper that we're already working with, or I'm going to approach some new shippers that are going to be a good fit for you.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah, when we bring on a carrier, we're looking in our existing portfolio to find somebody who's a fit. We try not to have too much overlap between our fleets, right? We don't want to be cannibalizing freight. We're not going to have a bunch of trucking companies that compete with each other. It's not in our best interest and it's certainly not in theirs. So it's pretty simple as far as that. But what they really like, Joe, is they control the rates, right? And I think when we get down to why are carriers frustrated right now, it's because they're going into these relationships, whether directly with a shipper or with a broker. And a lot of times they feel like they have no control over their own rate. So they're thinking like, hey, I bought this expensive piece of equipment. I'm paying for insurance. I'm paying for maintenance. I'm paying the driver. I'm paying. Shouldn't I get to say what I charge? And the answer is no. The market dictates that this is what the rate should be and this is what I'm going to pay you.
Yeah, I totally get that. And especially when they're maybe working with a small broker and you go, you're working from your basement and you're making as much on this as I am. And I spent on this big truck or trucks. Yeah, that is a sore spot. But again, I could argue either way, and I know you could too. But it's just, this is another option for the market. This is a market that is massive and diverse, and there's a million different flavors, and we need more options. And this is a good one. And let me ask another question. So when you work with these carriers, are you looking at, say, their asset utilization, their driver utilization, and then saying, hey, look, we can help with that. We'll get you fewer empty miles. Do you try to measure all that? Is that part of your service with these guys?
We really let them run their own operations. As far as that kind of stuff goes.
They call you because that's out of whack, right?
Yeah. And a lot of times, we're having the conversations about where do you need help? And they might have 100 trucks and they say, I need 5 loads a week from here to here. And that's all they need help with. And that's absolutely fine. We don't necessarily need to do 100% of their sales. They might have a salesperson. They might be working with a broker, but it's that piece that they need help with that they call.
So getting back to it, when you meet a new carrier, say 100 trucks, you get to know them, what they're interested in, what kind of freight they're interested in, and they'll tell you their problems, their sore spots. And then what do you guys do after that?
We go try to make those problems go away. Yeah.
Now, do you have an agreement with them? How does this agreement work?
Yeah, we have an agreement. We sign on carriers as our clients. Yeah.
And how long are these agreements? Are they a year or 6 months, or how does it all work?
It's forever, Joe. It's forever. We're creating long-term relationships.
Well, I know I was asking you before we hit record, and you said you usually don't lose customers. Once you have them, they're pretty much customers for life because you're bringing them great business.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, when it works, it really works. And if it doesn't work, let's not force it. That's our philosophy.
Yeah. So then they invoice the customer directly, the shipper, and then from there, they pay you a commission.
Yep.
Yeah, that's nice. So that, I mean, it's interesting in difficult times, like right now, we're talking mid-April 2024, rates are not great. And so if you're a carrier, you're probably going, damn, I'm just not making the kind of money I want. And maybe a lot of brokers are feeling the same way. But if you're the carrier, you don't see what the broker charged to the shipper. So you might, it's a natural for you to go, that dude's making a couple hundred extra and it's coming out of my pocket. Whether that's true or not, I can get how that happens, because as the carrier, you don't know what the broker charged. And there's not enough. I think we could all agree there's not enough to go around in a lot of cases. So that carrier who's made a massive investment in trucks and people and terminals, they want to know. I want to know exactly what the shipper's paying this week. And I'm not against paying a commission to Ed, but I want to be in control of this relationship. I don't want a broker to be in control. And I totally get that. And again, I could have totally argued the other way, like why we need brokers. This isn't an argument against brokers. It's just saying it's another option. And if this is the nice thing about the market, there are enough carriers who say, yes, we work with Burns Logistics, that you guys are doing well. If you weren't adding value, they wouldn't have you.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah.
So anyway, I'm going to put a big old bow on this one, Ed Burns. So okay. Talking to my friend Ed Burns, and we're talking about getting good shipper freight. And again, I have heard those exact words 100 times. People call me on the phone and say, hey, Joe, we're a small carrier, blah, blah, blah. I just want good shipper freight. What do I need to do? And by the way, most of the time what I've said is, hey, you can either get your own sales guy, get your own website up to speed, get more active on social media, maybe load boards. It's not like I have a silver bullet for them. A lot of times I'll say, what you need is to find a better broker relationship. If you're saying I want good shipper freight, until I met you, I didn't really know there was another alternative. And so there is, and it's you guys. And you guys look at yourself as two-sided sales, just like a broker. You have the shippers, you have the carriers, you have to do a good job for both. And the advantage we just discussed was, if you're a carrier, you get that relationship directly with the broker, directly with the shipper, and you pay the Burns Logistics team is your sales team, and they aren't taking a salary unless they don't get paid if you don't get paid. So anyway, but by the way, when I was in automotive still, there was a lot of times manufacturers reps in Detroit, and they were all over the place. And these automotive companies says, we don't want reps anymore. Get them out of the middle. But they were representing companies that were down in Ohio and Indiana that didn't want to have a Detroit office. So they had reps. And it's funny, they went, knocked a lot of them out. Nope, we're going to have direct relationships. And it's funny, then they went away, but they do pop back up. And I always think there is just no right answer on it. I get why they're there. And it's the nature of our system is, if you can add value in a way, you get to. If you don't add value, you don't get to be in, you don't get to be there. Anyway, enough of my blather. Final thoughts on this one, Ed Burns. Put a big old bow on this one.
Yeah, this is what it all comes down to, Joe, I think, is the importance of relationships in this industry are so important, right? However your business model is set up. The carriers that are successful are the ones who invest in long-term thinking and in long-term relationships. The brokers that are successful do the same thing. The shippers that are successful do the same thing. The reason that we've had some success in our little family business is because we play the long game and we try to build relationships. There's no way to overestimate the value of that. And I really appreciate you having me on here, Joe. It's good to get to know you a little bit here.
Yeah. It's been my pleasure. Again, I've never interviewed anyone doing what you do. I've talked to lots of freight brokers. I've talked to lots of carriers, lots of 3PLs. I've never talked to a company doing what you guys do. And I love it, because the market needs options. And it's a funny thing. I've said early in this podcast, I've been doing it 6 years, that I thought over time we'd have fewer freight brokers because the technology would allow us not to have them. But now I'm looking and going, who knows? I think there won't be 28,000 there is now, but those are the guys, we've seen it. They've invested in technology, so they get to be there. There's going to be a certain, and the winners, the guys who've done a wonderful job adding value in the middle, get to stay. And again, I see I can see a day when Burns Logistics is going to be one of those massive logistics companies because of what you guys do and how you do it.
Well, Joe, I appreciate that. Yeah. To your point, just if we just seek to add value, everything comes together. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. What I'll do is I'll put a link to your LinkedIn profile, a link to your website, and any other links you and your marketing team give me. I will put those in the show notes. And I just saw you at Manifest, and I know you just came back from another conference. What conference were you just at?
I was at the Truckload Carriers Association, Truckload 2024. It is the best trucking conference.
Where is that?
They move it around. This last one was in Nashville.
Oh, very nice. Very nice.
Gaylord Opryland.
So I know you're just getting back from all these conferences. Next, what other conferences will we see you in the Burns Logistics team at?
Oh, my next big one is the Pennsylvania Motor Truck Association Conference. It's a destination one this year. It won't be in Pennsylvania. It'll be in Naples, Florida. I'm looking forward to that one.
Not too shabby. Not too shabby.
Yeah. Yeah. We always go to some truckload carriers, TCA events. There's a reefer conference this summer. I'll see you at Manifest next year.
Yeah.
You always go to Food Shippers of America. Joe, what's your next conference?
I'm not sure. Maybe might probably get to, we're talking right now during TIA. I hope to be at TIA. I can't make it this year. Just the boss is keeping me home because he didn't do his work. Anyway, maybe Broker Carrier Summit was coming up here in a few weeks. That's a good one. For sure, I'll be at TMSA, Transportation Marketing and Sales Association, just down in New Orleans this year. There's so many great conferences. Somebody joked on my podcast, would people please stop having great conferences so we could all stay home for a little bit? But I think they're invaluable to get to during, most of us work from home or at least remote. And even if you don't see your customers, I see most of my customers when I go to Manifest or TMSA. These are events where you see all your customers, your prospective customers. But anyway, Ed Burns, thank you so much. I love what you guys are doing. And thank you so much for coming on the podcast and talking about it.
Joe, so good to talk with you. Thank you.
Yep. And thank all of you for listening to my podcast. Your support's very much appreciated. I know I always say that, but I really do appreciate it. Until next time, onward and upward.
You have been listening to the Logistics of Logistics podcast, where we engage with leaders in the logistics and supply chain community. If you like what you hear, please subscribe, hit the like button, and leave us a nice review on Apple or Spotify or wherever else you listen. Also, please check out our videos on YouTube and connect with us on LinkedIn. We're very big on LinkedIn. And you can also reach us on thelogisticsoflogistics.com, our website.